Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and now it's time for Powering Your Property, where we bring you the latest in property sector news and updates. In the latest roundup of regional real estate headlines, Dash Living, Asia's preeminent serviced living co-living community in Hong Kong and Singapore, recently announced it raised over $8.8 million for its Series A funding round. We're joined today by Dash Living's founder and CEO, Aaron Lee, who'll share more on what that means for Dash. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
So, Aaron, let's start off at the very beginning, because you founded Dash back in 2014. So it's about a 7-year-old startup. Can you share with us, how did Dash establish itself in those early days?
That's a great question, because actually a lot of media friends does call us a 7-year-old startup. I would say, just like how you and I would say age is just a number, where youth is a mentality. We are a 7-year-old startup where that is just a number, where startup is just a mentality. And our mentality has been over the years, which is why we've become a market leader, is we've always stayed very nimble, very adaptable in any time, right? We cleverly understand how real estate is very inefficient, which is the cause of why we're solving this problem for millennials, right? All of us millennials in this call, I mean, we all face the same problem of having expensive accommodation. So we very much understand why accommodation is expensive. It's because real estate is inefficient. So over time, you know, we've found every possible way to use the sharing economy, for example, such as the shared perks, right? All of our tenants get to use all of our different perks, gyms, co-working spaces, F&B, spa and wellness that's outside of the building, which adds value to the property, the whole experience, right? So this is just one example, adds value to the whole experience.
Yeah. Aaron, perhaps talk us through the catalyst for launching Dash. Yeah. What was the process? How did it come about for you? What was your inspiration behind launching the company?
Well, I mean, like all of the businesses that I've built in the past, right? I'm actually a serial entrepreneur. I'm always inspired by solving problems, right? The bigger the problem, the more relevant for the people around me, the more excited I get, right? And the problem just so happens that we're in right now is accommodation. All of us here are facing it. So that's the inspiration, right? On the demand side. And then on the supply side, when you walk into a building, you see a gym or a co-working space or F&B that's underutilized. Mm-hmm. And you also see a security guard or a front desk that is not really used, right? They're either playing with their phones or they're just not really doing everything efficiently. Multiply that by 100 buildings, that's 100 different people who is using inefficiently and 100 underutilized gyms. That's why real estate is inefficient, right? That's why it's expensive. So my inspiration came from that on the supply side. How do you solve that problem using tech? How do you solve that problem using automation, chatbots, a centralized team on top, right? The facilities, how can we share it across many buildings, right? How do you build a community around that, right? These are all elements, right, of why we're so successful and why we're a market leader to date.
So talk us through how your solution actually works.
There's like five different touch points, right? Mm-hmm. So just to talk about one of it, right? Let's say the gym, for example, right? So instead of having a gym in every single building, we outsource the gym solution, right, to vendors nearby. So globally, we work with like 40 to 50 different vendors, right? I mean, there's gyms, there's co-working spaces, there's different kind of touch points, right? So just one element of it is that instead of having a gym in every single building, making the real estate inefficient, we outsource it to outside, right? So we have an arrangement with gyms where all of our tenants, regardless of which building they're in, across different districts, different countries, get to sharing economy, the whole facilities are outside. So this is just one element, right, for the customer. Other things, I mean, such as the operations is very important, because I mentioned that land was an expensive resource that's underutilized. Labor is also
Definitely in the two markets that you're in, Singapore and Hong Kong.
Yeah, so that's why the gyms and everything is outsourced. But for labor as well, it's also expensive, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so we have a mobile experience, a mobile app experience where once you make a booking with us, right, you get to go straight to your room, right? Because the app has a mobile key in it, right? So just Bluetooth connect to your door, you go straight to your room. That saves a lot of frontline headache, right? Same with customer service. There's a messenger built into the mobile app.
So I'm looking at your numbers, Aaron. Your residential units in Hong Kong and Singapore, they've sustained occupancy rates of around 90 to 95%. And that strikes me as being particularly high, especially during the pandemic, where we've seen a lot of movement for international professionals, expat professionals. Can you tell us, what's your take on co-living as an asset class? And in what sense have you found it to be resilient in amongst such a difficult time?
Great. Yeah, so two things, right? The asset class and the demand side. Okay, the asset class itself, we're dealing with long stay, right? Assets are residential assets, people staying here for long stay. So the pandemic is mainly impacted by travel restrictions across the borders, right? That's for business travelers. For us, we're not dealing with that. We're dealing with in Singapore is mainly with expats who are already in Singapore. Right, with Hong Kong, it's expats and locals, right, who's already in Hong Kong. So the borders have not much impact to the business itself. That's different from hotels or service apartments.
Yes, but didn't we see headlines in September that Singapore's population was at an all-time low as a result of foreign workers leaving the country?
That's one point, but our renewal rates and our length of stay actually has increased significantly over the pandemic. This is due to a lot of the perks that we've emerged out of the pandemic. The events have a lot of events have been happening inside our communities, both generated by us as well as by the user. It's a mixture of both. Mm. But that's very different from how we operate, different from our peers.
So the
customers have been staying longer. They're way more sticky.
And I guess people are looking for alternative forms of cohabitation as a result of what's been happening. So anyway, let's talk about, you've recently raised, I think it's over $8 million for Series A funding, and that's to fuel your expansion in the region. Can you tell us more about this and where you're planning to expand to? Which markets are you looking at, Aaron?
Sure. Yeah, so we raised over $8.8 million Series A funding. It was led by a real estate private equity group, Grosvenor. Mm-hmm. A lot of our existing investors has topped up as well, right? Because they're also very bullish, just like us, right? With this very resilient market. So, I mean, to answer your question, I mean, we're using a lot of the funding to expand into different cities like Hong Kong and Singapore in Asia. Mm-hmm. Why Asia? It's because it's actually the number one in the place, a number one place in the world that's got the highest density of millennials. So this is a fun fact that actually 57% of the world's millennials actually live in Asia. So that's the most density, right, compared to anywhere around the world, right? But also on the other hand, co-living's at its infancy. I mean, we're not necessarily the biggest player in the world globally, but we are one of the market leaders in Asia. So it's at its infancy, right? So very bullish about that. We're looking in the Japan and Australian markets in the near term, but definitely it's not just these two countries that we plan on expanding to. I mean, definitely more other places, right? That's got the same similar kind of problem as Hong Kong and Singapore.
And you've been partnering with hotel chains as well. Do you see that as part of your expansion plans? Can you tell us more about those collaborations?
Yes. So we collaborate with hotels, service apartments, or even individual residential owners. I mean, as long as the assets are built towards living, we can pretty much partner with them. But I mean, right now it's the hotels that actually need a lot of our help that we're able to drive a lot of long stay demand into their buildings at this point. So we drive a lot of value for them at this point. I think even in the long term, I think every building should have some mix of community driven kind of long stay because of the pandemic, right? And what it will be after.
Yeah, and that's interesting because we don't know when travel is going to return to normal. And as you mentioned, many of these hoteliers have been hit by the pandemic and tourism inflows and outflows. So do you think that's changed some of the partnerships that you've had in terms of perhaps more hospitality partners than you would have had previously?
Yes. So it's because of the pandemic that we got a lot of these opportunities. Mm. We emerge as a much better company now, right? Because of this mix, right? That we get a lot of supply who are hotel operators. In the long term, I think even after the pandemic, we don't know when, right, as you say, but I think even after the pandemic, you know, we've learned that over the last year that we don't need to travel as much as we used to, right? We probably would travel a lot less, So I think, I mean, in my opinion, I think, you know, long stay should be part of every building's tenancy mix.
Let's move on. Beyond the COVID-19 pandemic, what are your thoughts on how co-living will sustain itself in a post-pandemic world? Obviously, you've spoken a little bit about your partnerships with hotels, but how do you see this changing going forward? People are looking at new options when it comes to where they're staying, how they're living, their wellness, how all of that's incorporated into their lifestyle.
Yeah, so I think all of us, we work, we live, right, really for to improve our quality of life, correct? Mm. I think, you know, co-living is a good way for tenants to, or all of us to be able to improve your quality of life, right? So the assets we're dealing with here is residential or hotel or like living, right? So this is something that's very resilient, something that in the long term that we might travel less, which there's less demand for short stay. Mm-hmm. So with our line of product, we should always mix in more long stay into the mix of each building. And because of the way we operate, it's not just about living the living space you're in. Actually, there's a lot of facilities that's shared across many different places, right? That's part of the deal, right? You also get 24-hour kind of support, right? That's supported by a chatbot, right? With our team that is centralized globally. So you get very good customer service here, right? Additionally, of course, you know, with in addition to the perks and the customer service, there's also all the events that you get to attend, right? The people you meet, right? It's also part of the quality of life, right? Mm. So our tenants are organizing events for each other, right? You see yoga classes happening.
Right.
So go cake making classes, fitness gatherings, things like that, right? That's all part of your quality of life. So something that's very cool that we do.
Wonderful. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
We've been speaking with Dash Living's founder and CEO, Aaron Lee, right here on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.